We're in a series called Generous Winds. I'm absolutely convinced that life in the flow beats life on the performance treadmill. And that's really what you have a choice in doing life. You see, following Jesus, being a Christian, isn't just about eternal life. It's about life. Jesus said that I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly in the here and now. I don't know much about heaven. I've never been there. I know an awful lot about here. I've been stuck here for a while. How about you? And I know that we live in a world that judges us on the basis of performance, of results. You know, I was watching on the... I was on CMT, and there's this kid, is it Rodney Atkins? He had a number one hit or something. And, you know, they're interviewing me. He says, you know, the only problem is I'm going to have to get another one. Well, you know, God bless him. He can't even enjoy that one. You know, that's how it is, isn't it? I mean, it's perform, have another hit, get a record deal, make the sale, float your boat. And in this world where we're going through this global repositioning transformation, as we finally enter the 21st century, it's constant. You're looking at yourself and saying, how am I going to be able to produce the results that, you know, I've always had in a new world where things are working very differently than they used to? That's why it's important that in this series, Generous Winds, we learn what the flow is and how we live in it. So let's just read John 15. And get the concept of the flow. I'm the vine, Jesus said, and you are the branches. Now, Jesus Christ specialized in God simple. I mean, he wasn't simplistic. I love Albert Einstein said this. Everything should be as simple as it can be, but no more. Jesus was not simplistic, but he was simple. Here it is. Here's how life works. You can like it or not, but this, you can cooperate with it or not. You can get in the flow or not. You can fight the flow or not, but here it is. I am the vine, you are the branches. Who doesn't understand that? We all understand that, don't we? We know that if you take a vine and attach it to a branch and attach it to a vine, if the vine has life, the branch will have. And you tear the branch away from the vine, the life of the vine, it has no life. It can look for a while like the vine, right? You can take a rose and clip it off and hand it to your sweetheart, and for a while it will look alive, right? But it doesn't take long until that $75 dozen roses looks like 15 cents worth of pre-fertilizer, right? And it's evidence. So you can either live life on the basis of performance and trying to produce, you know, everything and work. I'll work hard for everything I get rather than living out of the flow of the life of God. The flow of the life of God is I trade my guilt for his grace. His grace is his generosity. His grace for my guilt, his generosity in my life produces in me gratitude and joy, gratefulness and generosity as the fruit of the root. Okay? Now, let's talk about, because I'm afraid that a lot of us were raised the way I was in a religious environment where the grand assumption ruled. And here is the grand assumption I was raised in. Whether or not it was the intent, I can't say. But as a kid, this is what I got. Here's the grand assumption. We're all God's children. God loves everybody. But he wants us to behave. Amen. So he gave us the Ten Commandments to rain on our fun. Your biggest problem is pride, even though you're 7 years old and you can't spell it. And you're going to hell if you smoke. Or at least smell like you've been there. Can I hear an amen? That's about it. And I, you know, there's not much appealing to that when you're a kid. This idea, well, you know, God just loves us. We just need to behave. And so Christianity for me was defined by moralism. It's what you do. Not what God has done for you, is what you do for God that God accepts and then cuts you a break and lets you into heaven. Maybe not Hallelujah Boulevard, where I'm going to be, but, you know, maybe the outer limits, you know, maybe, you know, I don't know. you know, way out there where you would have to like take an Angel Express to get into town. I don't know. So I want to defy the assumption, that assumption, because it is not true that we all naturally are a part, we're created by our Creator, but we are estranged from God, and we have to make some choices. So let me just give you, you're just trying to check these off and say, okay, is this kind of, do I have this? You may term it differently. I don't care. This is not inspired. It's just my own journey, biblical, and I think it's a biblical one on a solid foundation that help you at the end of the day say, okay, yeah, I'm okay. I'm good to go. Because here's the deal. One of the things that scares me to death is that many of us are faking a relationship with God rather than having one. And it scares me that Jesus said that some are going to stand before God in judgment and say, and he's going to say, I've never known you. That scares me. I don't know about you. It scares me. It doesn't scare me for me, but it scares me for people who think they're okay under the grand assumption, but they're not. Not by my definition. People ask me all the time, you know, does everyone have to know Jesus to go to heaven? Yes, Christians, Muslims, Democrats, Republicans, you know, conservatives, bikers, I mean, everybody. I mean, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth that leads to life. And that's his definition. You don't like it, take it up with him. I'm just a newsboy, right? The only training I got as a newspaper boy, I had two at one time, and then stringing. The only training I ever got was this. There, don't throw the newspaper in the dirt. Don't throw the newspaper on the ceiling, roof above their head. Put it right on the door. So what I'm tempted to do today is put the newspaper right on the door. Whether you take an open or not, Bubba, Babette, is your choice. Amen? As it should be. Here's the process. First, there has to be a conscious choice, a moment in time where you understand that it's God or anything else. But not God and everything else. Jesus said it this way, no one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other, and you will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. I did not marry Paula and a few other good-looking women. Amen? She wouldn't put up with it. Right? I mean, The verse our marriage is based on is thou shalt not kill. Booyah! I thought that was funny. I don't think she does, but we all understand this. There is a point in time when you have to make a conscious choice that I'm going to have to, I make a decision that I am going to get serious about God. I'm going to serve God with my life. I'm going to respond to my Creator as the creature. I'm going to humble myself, okay? Now, that has to be followed up with checkpoint number two, and that is, has there been a moment where you have experienced a definite conversion? I don't mean that you know the information and that you were baptized, as important as that is, and I don't want to downplay it, that you've observed the sacraments, and I don't want to downplay that, and that you've gone to church, and certainly don't want to downplay that, and that you've read the Bible. I don't want to downplay any of those activities, but they're all fruit of a root. Are you with me? Jesus said it this way, no man can see the kingdom of God unless he is what? Born again. And listen to what else he says. How can a man be born again, Nicodemus said. Can he enter into his mother's womb? Well, of course not. I mean, isn't that a weird image? Okay, mama, here I come. No, I don't think so. Jesus said, I tell you the truth, no man can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water. Everybody, it's a natural birth. When our oldest was, you know, when we were expecting our oldest daughter, Erin, we were at an event. And Paula said, my water has broken. Well, here's what I've learned. If a pregnant lady says to you, my water has broken, you don't have time to stop by McDonald's for fries and a Big Mac so you can eat while you're waiting. The baby's coming. Can I hear an amen? I mean, it's coming now. Go, 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 because the birth is imminent. So water is the natural birth. And then he says, and spirit, which is the conversion of the heart. Flesh gives birth to flesh. Everybody get that? And the spirit gives birth to the spirit. You should not be surprised when I say you must be born again. So has there been a moment when there has been an inner conversion of your heart, a tying of your affections? You can say it any way you want to. The Bible, Jesus said, the first sermon of every great preacher in the New Testament, including Jesus, was repent, for the kingdom of God is in hand. Now, when I was a kid, repent meant it was scary. Repent! Everybody who said it was in a bad mood or constipated. Right? And I learned later, repent simply means it's metanoia, to change your mind, to do an about face, to look at life differently, to wake up one day and all of a sudden your heart, your mind, and your desire is different. So that's the third checkpoint. And has it resulted in a strong connection of mind, heart, and soul to Jesus Christ? Now, if you haven't had those or something that looks like that, you should. You should have a point in time when you come to God, you choose to repent of your own brokenness and your separation from God and embrace Jesus Christ, go through a conversion moment where all of a sudden you wake up one day where your desires, your passions, and your affections are different than they were the day before. David said it this way, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Jesus said it this way, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven. Now here's the problem with that. Unless you have an inner motivation to do that, all you'll try to do is do the very minimum you can to make sure that when you die, you go to heaven as best you know how. So here's what scares me. Don't fake the flow. Don't simply say, you know what, I'm doing all the right things. I'm behaving in a way I was told to behave, and therefore the flow will be mine. No, the idea that we have on the performance treadmill is, what am I doing wrong that's blocking the life of God? What am I doing wrong that God won't answer my prayers? And you're not doing anything wrong. You just may not be in the flow. Because when you're in the flow, these things begin to happen. I won't say effortlessly, but a lot easier than they do when you're trying to conjure up results. So if you say, I don't have any affection toward Jesus Christ, I don't have any desire toward his word, I'm here today just because I'm miserable and this is the best place to be miserable, at least I'm not at home in the apartment alone, I totally understand that. But you need to keep pushing forward till you have a moment of conversion. Jesus called it being born again. I'm not just talking about more information. I'm not talking about more moral discipline. Christianity is not about being moral. If it were, we would have already won the war. We haven't won the war because we can't claim the high moral ground, can we? I mean, how many people do you know that call themselves Christians that are not near as moral as people who might call themselves undecided, agnostic, or whatever? Morality is not the issue. The issue is, has there been a point where I've chosen to repent of my own sin, my own brokenness, my own sense of the orphan? That's really what it is. Listen to what Jesus said. If you love me, you will obey my commandments. Isn't that, I mean, come on, how simple is that? It doesn't say if you obey my commandments, you will love me, does it? Y'all read it, I've got plenty of time. Does it? No. It says one is the fruit of the other. So if you say, I don't really care about the things of God, I don't really care about all this stuff, I don't really care that much, I'm in kind of what's in it for me, then you are disconnected from God in his life, and you are not, and you will never be able to live in the flow like that. I'm the vine, you're the branches. If you abide in me, you will bear much fruit, for without me, you can do no thing. Right? You know what 5,679,343 times zero is? Zero. We're math geniuses, aren't we? You say, but I'm trying. You probably need to stop trying. You need to go have a conscious moment of repentance and conversion by faith that ends up in a sense of strong connection to Jesus Christ, what he taught, what he is, who he is, and the life that he offers. He said, I've come that you might have life and have it more what? Abundantly. I want to put you in the flow. So here's what I know. I am not an orphan, even though I feel like it. Listen to what it says. The world cannot accept Christ because, or the Holy Spirit, because it neither sees the Holy Spirit or knows the Holy Spirit, but you know of that inner sense of connection, for he lives in you and will be in you. He says, I will not leave you as a what? Orphan. I will come to you. So Christianity is, we're taught in the epistles where our faith is expanded upon, is like being adopted. When you're adopted, you now have someone who has legal claim to you. They are not only your legal guardian, but by law, they have to support you. All right? So here's the orphan, the feeling of, so if you have the feeling of the orphan, you're not living in the flow. You're scared to death. You're scared to death. You're not going to have enough money. You're going to make your house payment. You're not going to have enough insurance. You're scared to death. You only buy into generosity for old people. Because what else is left? I mean, when you're old and living on your own, not in the flow, you're nice to people because they're going to be able to decide what nursing home you're going to die in, right? He was a nice old man. Well, he knows he better be nice because he's in trouble, right? Rather than realizing that generosity, living out of the flow of God's love and God's provision, and then evidencing it by being fruitful or generous, is a life, not just a lifestyle. It's what we do every day because we can. Generous always wins. It wins in relationships. It wins in business. It wins in life. It wins everywhere. Generous wins. I trade my guilt for God's grace. His grace is his goodness. His goodness is his generosity. His generosity overwhelms me through a moment of conversion. And out of that, I live my life on the basis of gratitude. I'm grateful that I have been adopted, not just left alone to fend for myself. Why do we, as a people, save stuff? I'm cleaning out my mother's house now, and you've had this experience. Some of you already told me about it, or you will. You know, and my mother's 86 years old, and 86 years, you accumulate a lot of stuff, and oh, my gosh. What's it for? I don't know. I don't mean like, what's it for? I mean, what's it for? What's it do? Did it ever do anything? Ever? I'm thinking, why do we do that? Why do we hold on to stuff? I was cleaning out her in the kitchen, cleaning out the cabinets. There are cans in there that been, they came over on the Mayflower. There's no, absolutely no doubt in my mind. There are cans up there that have, you know, how long does it take a can to sit in the kitchen and then swell up and burst? A good bit. But one thing I did find, God bless her. I don't know if I told Paula this, because I found a magic bullet. I've always wanted a magic bullet. Actually, I feel like it's the big thing missing in my life. You know what I'm saying? You're like, did anybody know what a magic bullet is? Oh, yes. It's the blender of all blenders. It works on batteries. You've seen this thing, haven't you? I mean, you take the top of it off and you put tomatoes in it, put it down and pop it a couple of times, salsa. You take some old bananas, put in the top, pop a couple of times, banana pudding. Seriously. I think, you know, this is a keeper. Thank you. Thank God for Mama. You know, she probably one night she couldn't sleep. She ordered it over the TV. But here's the interesting thing about the magic bullet. It was not opened. Never been opened. Isn't it interesting? Why do we do stuff like that? We buy stuff on emotion. Ever bought a car on emotion, then one day wake up with a payment book under your pillow and broken down a cold sweat? You know, I mean, we do that, but why? Because we carry the wound of the orphan. We want to make sure we hoard up stuff and have stuff and, you know, and keep stuff. And we want stuff around us that brings back memories because it gives a sense of rootedness and belonging. When our rootedness and our true belonging is in our Savior, Jesus Christ. That's where it is. And then generosity means that everything that matters to me begins to flow out of me into the life of everyone else. Because at the end of the day, that's all that matters. Generosity, pouring, loving, helping people is why we're here, right? So I go back and ask myself, has there been a conscious choice, a moment in time when I nailed down in my life, Jesus Christ, I have fallen before you and confessed my own brokenness and my inadequacy. I get off the performance treadmill. I'm sick of trying to just earn my way. I embrace your love. I accept your salvation into my life. I submit to you as my Lord and my God. You are my vine. Amen. And then my passion, that strong connection results in number four, a passionate focus on the things that matter in life. Don't worry what you should eat. Don't worry about what you should drink. Don't worry about Old Navy. Don't worry about, you know, the pagans who are at Old Navy. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all the rest of the stuff will be supplied to you. Going through a lot. One of the things we're going through is my dad's war stuff that was never allowed to go through while he was alive and didn't dare go through, you know, after he died. And it's interesting, all the stuff that they give, you know, when you go into war, they give you all this stuff. You know what I'm saying? We found some pants that look like equestrian pants. I mean, can you just see shooting people in these pants? I just can't. I'm just like, they look too nice. But the really cool thing, and I saw it once, and I got a whipping before getting it, but they issued, you know, all the servicemen in World War II a Bible with a metal front. That is so cool. I wanted that so bad, but Daddy had some kind of attachment to it. Who knows? Carried it with him 6 years, and going through hell, I can't imagine why I'd be attached to it. But now it's mine. It's mine. And, you know, I just think, you know, we understand that when you send someone to war, you are responsible to outfit them for the experience. And we don't translate that same idea to our life in God. He says, you know what, I'm going to outfit you for the experience called life. You're going to have everything you need. If you need a metal-covered Bible, I'll give you one of those. But I'll supply what you need. Here's what you need to do. You need to focus on the task at hand. And the task at hand is seeking the kingdom of God. And doesn't that sound so big and ethereal and spooky? Here, you know what it is? The kingdom of God is about rewords. Redeem, reclaim, renew, rejoice. It's God's plan to bring people into a relationship with him and each other. That's why the gathering exists, to help people connect to God and each other for the purpose of changing the world. We're world changers. And we change world. The kingdom of God is bringing people back into the relationship that God created, bringing them back into that vine and branch relationship where the flow can happen. I mean, come on. The people have given you the biggest trouble are the people who aren't living in the flow, because you know what? They're scared, they're mad, they're angry, they're bitter, and they're out after their stuff. And if you ever get in the way of them getting their stuff, they'll cut you. Are you with me? I mean, you get in front of a dog. Listen, we got a sweet little dog named Cooper, and she's a sweet little dog. You get between her and her food, she'll bite you. I know. I found out. Right? And so here we are as men and women living in the flow. We are the branch. He is the vine. And we understand that the evidence of that life is in the fruit of our life. And so now we have this passionate focus rather than being scattered all over the world. We focus on what matters in our lives and we let everything else float on by. Amen. And here's the next one. That then, that passionate focus is evidenced by much fruit. Now, here's the thing about this passionate focus. The passionate focus of every Christian is in some way the same, and yet in many ways very different. Aren't you glad God didn't make us cookie-cutter Christians? Yes. Evidently, y'all aren't, but how about y'all over here? Aren't you glad God didn't just make us cookie-cutter Christians, that we all have to wear polyester, you know? I was scared to death if I get really serious about God, he'd call me to be a missionary in Africa and marry an ugly woman with a cow petty hairdo and wear polyester the rest of my life. Anybody ever have that vision? You know what God did? God in my life, he says, you know what? Here is your passionate focus. Your passionate focus is like all your brothers and sisters in the kingdom, to love God, to know God, to love what he loves, and to do what he's blessing. To love people as they are, and they come in one size, ladies and gentlemen, messed up. I ain't stupid, but I'm a carrier. How about you? I mean, I'm definitely infected. My goal is to see that people are brought back in a relationship, that people redeemed are people who are reclaimed, and people who are reclaimed are people who are reconciled. And isn't that what the problem of war is? An inability to reconcile our differences with other people. That's what the clash between religions are. That's what the clash between classes are. It is an age-old story. But just because it's been that way doesn't mean it has to be that way in the future. If you and I live in the flow and out of the overflow, understanding that in many ways we have the same passion, but in other ways we express that passion and live it out very differently according to our calling. Somebody asked me the other day in an interview, says, when are you going to retire? I said, when I'm dead. Because I decided to find out something I love to do with all of my heart, to do it to my best ability, and then try to do it out of the overflow. And if you can do that, you can do that when you're 70, 80, 90, or 100 somewhere. Rather than this old paradigm of grow up, go to school, get a job, get a wife, get some kids, get some debt, get a pension, and work to something you hate, so you can retire in your mid-60s and move to Florida and live in a condo and get killed by a tornado. Can all people say, praise Jesus, that's what I want to do. You ever been to Naples, Florida? Oh, my Lord. We saw Passion of the Christ in Naples, Florida when it came out years ago. I'm telling you, we were the youngest people there by a factor of 30. Who's that dude up on that big tree over there, Martha? It's Jesus, dude. Oh, he looks much younger. We come out, we get on the road, no hair on this story. Oh, there's a police car over here. There is a Cadillac with a dead old man in it. He died of a heart attack, ran into a telephone pole, as God is my witness. We're back about 4 or 5 years later. Guess what? We're going down the main road, Tamiami Boulevard, and there's another Cadillac with a dead older person in it, died of a heart attack. Our host was on the Ford there, the Ford company. I said, this happens every week. Really? Right. So what are we all, we're going to grow, we're going to live somewhere that we don't like, work with people we can't stand, in order to move to a place we've never been with people we don't know. Really? You call that living? I don't think so. You know what I call living? Being where you want to be, living with who you want to live with, and doing something that you love. Amen. Amen. And if you're not here, if that doesn't define you, Bubba, go do it. Go be thou blessed. Go west, young man, and be blessed. Right? But at the end of the day, we live out our calling as individuals, our calling as a community, and that fruit, the fruit of our lives, the fruit of our joy, becomes the evidence of a life well lived. And here is the last one. So let me just walk. First, there's a conscious choice. Have you done it? That has led to a moment of conversion of your heart, that now it wrote in this strong sense of connection, this faith connection, so that this vine and branch relationship may be tested, but it has never failed, producing a passionate focus on the things that matter to the heart of God, which would be the things that ought to matter to us, and evidenced by much fruit as we live our lives out of our calling and out of our joy, that is now blessed by fruit that lasts. I no longer call you servants, Jesus said, because the servant doesn't know what his master's business is. We know what our master's business is, but I call you friends, for everything that I've learned from my Father, I've made known to you. Here it is. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go bear what? Fruit. Fruit that remains. Another place he says, my Father is glorified when you bear much fruit. So here is fruit, much fruit that lasts, endures, and remains. So that when you're done on earth, we won't calculate your worth and your significance or your contribution on the basis of how many toys we got to sell at a discount price to get them out of our hair. Life will be defined in terms of people, of the people you've loved and cared for and redeemed and walked with and adopted and brought into your life, and you have poured into them generously. So here's the deal. Generous wins because generous never ends. Yes, I did. Thank you. I made that up all by myself. All right, generous wins because generous never ends. Say it with me. Generous wins because generous never ends. Why? Because it comes out of the flow of the life of the vine. Our Creator is eternal. His first instinct when he created life was to create you and me. His love defined him by his generosity. So Jesus says, I am the vine, the source. And out of that, I will be your resource. Amen? So every single day, I'm fighting back. I'm not worried. I don't feel abandoned. I've been adopted. I've been chosen. I have been predestined. Deal with it. I have been brought in. I have been loved. The relationship was mapped out way ahead of time. That's called predestination. I am elect. I am one of God's chosen. I am favored. My hero, Brennan Manning, said this, and I'll close with it. And I believe he's absolutely right. When we stand before God, the first question he asks us will be, did you know how much I loved you? Amen. So I want to ask you that question. Do you know how much you're loved? Somebody asked me the other day at the coffee, how you doing? So if you want to ask me how I'm doing after the death of my mother and the kind of bringing closure to my little family. You know how I'm doing? I'm well loved. Well loved. Not just well loved by God, but well loved by you and so many other people. And that's it. That's the flow. Well loved. Something goes away, well loved. Amen? Someone you love goes on, well loved. A job ends, well loved. Amen? Well loved. Father, I pray right now that the flow of your love into this room and into the lives of every person will make them feel well loved. Father, I pray that anyone here today who feels like they're on that performance treadmill, and their relationship with God is more about information than it is relationship. I pray right now they'll make this prayer with me. I want to pray, Father, the same prayer I prayed when I first came to know you. Dear God, I am scared out of my mind. I am alone. No one loves me. I'm broken. I cannot fix myself. Right now, Jesus, I ask you into my heart to be my God and my Lord and my life and my vine and my source. I pray that you will forgive me of my sins, everyone I've ever committed and all the ones I'm yet to commit. That you will be my enough. Come into my heart and change me. I want to be born again. I want that strong relationship, that strong connection that cannot be broken. Adopt me into your family. All of me that I understand by faith, I give to you, Jesus. All of you I can know. Love me. I pray this for my brothers and sisters in this room. Every seat, every person will walk out of here knowing that Jesus Christ is their Lord, their God, their lover, their vine, their source, and their generosity. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great day. Go get them.